Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
We are officially in the holiday mood here on Spotlight Connecticut. Morgan Cunningham with you, officially marking now 1 full year of broadcasting on Saturday afternoons from 2 to 3, Spotlight Connecticut. Can you believe it? We've made it this long. I guess that our bosses, Steve Salahaney, Janine Lee, Stephanie Pearl, they're happy with the ratings. And they're happy with the podcast downloads. So I get to keep doing this for at least a while longer. Hopefully forever, but nothing lasts forever. But no, really, I'm so happy that it's been a full year as of November 19th. That was the big launch for Spotlight Connecticut. And those earliest episodes, if you listen to them, I don't think I knew what I was doing. I think I had an idea. I had a goal that I wanted to reach, but I'm feeling so much more comfortable now. And I know that some of you were there on episode number 1, and congratulations to you. You've made it with me for a full year, and some of you are just tuning in now for the very first time. So whatever it is, I appreciate the listenership again on AM 1080 online at WTIC.com. You're listening to the Odyssey Podcasts, AUDACY. Got to get the spelling. It's on Apple Podcasts, so it's everywhere. Spotlight Connecticut. We are a variety program, and there's much more to talk about. Much more variety. It's endless, really it is. And today, I do hate to acknowledge that there apparently was some kind of a short circuit. A little bit behind-the-scenes info. We don't always check guests from one host to the next. And I figure that most of my guests are new to WTIC, but this is an exception. If you were listening this morning, our friend Steve Parker happened to have the exact same guest that we have today, but I realized that the interviews are going to be different, obviously, and also the audiences are different. So not too much of a problem, I don't think, but some friendly rivalry with Steve. We'll see who does it best, all right? Peter Lyon, he's our guest. He's a Canton-based author. And from time to time, I hear from audience members, they email me and they say, Morgan, this is a story you ought to check out. As was the case with Peter, who wrote a book called American Saint Nick, published a few years ago. It was an effort that took him a number of years to put together and finally get released into book form. And when he got it out there, it became not only a local success, but international. It tells the story of a man who brought Saint Nicholas Day to the children in Vilts, Luxembourg. During World War II, the year was 1944, December 1944, if you can believe that. 79 years ago, almost to this exact same date. And so Peter wanted to come on and tell the story. He's been trying to get word out everywhere about it, because when you think about World War II, at least when I think about World War II, I think about a lot of tragedy. I think about niche stories. The more you dig into World War II, the more sub-stories there are. And when you dig into a niche sub-story, guess what? There's another layer of story beneath that, and it leads to another story. And I'm personally fascinated by that. And when I found out about this holiday twist with World War II, I thought that it was so unusual. I thought it was weird because it's a positive World War II story. That's rare in itself. But also it's a story that very few people, I think, up to this point have known about, up until Peter wrote this book and shared it with the public. So when I got the email about a month and a half ago from a listener saying that I ought to talk to Peter, I figured that it was an absolute no-brainer. Peter Lyon, our local guest, Canton-based author. I'm excited to talk with him throughout the hour today about American Saint Nick. And as a general reminder, if you have a story idea, my email is morgan.cunningham@odyssey.com. morgan.cunningham@odyssey.com. Peter's on the way.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
What's going on, everyone? This is Joe from Hebron, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Yes, my friend Joe from Hebron getting us back into Spotlight Connecticut. Morgan Cunningham with you, and we're talking, like I said just a few minutes ago, about a positive story to deal with World War II, which is unusual. Again, when I think of World War II, I think of atrocities. I think of the world literally at war and at odds with one another. I think about absolute heroes who fought in that war. And I think about how, unfortunately, a lot of World War II history and stories are more or less becoming less common in conversation and in understanding today in 2023, largely because a lot of those people have been gone for quite some time now, and those stories are struggling to be told from generation to generation. But this is a story of heroism of a totally different kind. American Saint Nick, it's a book by Canton-based author Peter Lyon. You can find him online, peterlyonauthor.com, and about the book itself at americansaintnick.com. You don't spell saint, it's just S-T. Now, the very first question people might be wondering is, who's Saint Nick and who is American Saint Nick? Hi, Peter, could you explain?
Great question, because the actual person is a man named Richard Brookins. And the story evolves because Richard was a corporal with the U.S. Army in the 28th Infantry Division during World War II. And just before the Battle of the Bulge, there was a horrific battle called the Battle of the Hurtgen Forest. Not a lot of people know about it, but it was truly an American battle. Division after division was committed to this battle, and the 28th was one of those divisions. They spent the first couple weeks of November in 1944 in the Hurtgen Forest fighting. And after about 2 weeks, they were rotated out of that fighting and sent to the rear to rest and recuperate and to resupply. And they were sent to what was known at that time as the quiet sector. And that was in Luxembourg. And so Richard, being part of the headquarters detail, was sent to the town of Wiltz, Luxembourg, which was headquarters for the 28th Infantry Division. And that's where our story unfolds, because as the as they get there, they find out that the people in Luxembourg, who are now liberated from Nazi rule after nearly 5 years, are really sort of devastated by the lack of resources that are available to them. And upcoming in the next few weeks at that time was a celebration called Saint Nicholas Day. Now, In parts of Europe, St. Nicholas Day is huge, because where Christmas is somewhat it's a family holiday, St. Nicholas Day is a family plus a town-wide celebration, and it's mainly focused on children.
And isn't it earlier in December usually?
It's the actual date is December 6th. That is the date for St. Nicholas Day. And, there in the town of Wiltz, they celebrate it the Sunday before St. Nicholas Day. So whatever that Sunday before St. Nicholas Day is, that's when they have their celebration. And while the GIs were there, there was a soldier, his name was Harry Stutz, and Harry realizes that well, gosh, these townspeople don't really have anything with which to celebrate this holiday. And he started feeling really bad about this, mm-hmm. especially for the kids. So he's thinking, well, this, you know, we're the army. We should be able to do something. So he gets this idea in his head that he wanted to throw a Christmas party for the town of Vilts, mainly for the children. Now, it would be a Christmas party for really the GIs who by this time knew they were not going to be home for Christmas that year. But really, it was for the kids and for the townspeople to welcome in their St. Nicholas Day. And because they didn't really have any resources, Harry took it upon himself to sort of create this Christmas committee by which he assigned people roles, anybody who volunteered. He had the company cooks make donuts and chocolates, and actually they had donuts and cookies, and they melted down chocolates from their D bars that they were called to make hot chocolate for the kids. And his idea was that he wanted to have a party in town. Now, in order to make this happen, he had to send this up the chain of command, and the commanding general at the time was a guy named General Cota. Norman Dutch Cota was his nickname. And he thought that it would be a great idea, great for PR, and especially good for the soldiers in the town, because again, they weren't going to be home for Christmas. So he got all this stuff together and he realized that there was one element missing for this party to be a success. And that was he needed somebody to dress up as St. Nicholas, because they had to show that St. Nicholas was returning to Vilts after, again, nearly 5 years of not having this celebration. So take a moment here to realize that while the Nazis were there and administrating the town at the time, they thought of the Luxembourg people as Germans and were they set about this re-education program. All the street names were changed to German names. Anything that was like a French-sounding surname was changed to a German name. And it was really a re-education of the population to the point where this St. Nicholas Day was outlawed, as was the speaking of their native language. And that was because they were not German elements, and the Germans really didn't celebrate St. Nicholas Day the way the Luxembourg people did. So it was outlawed. So here come the Americans, and the Americans are like, yeah, we're going to throw you a party. So the people in Luxembourg were just completely taken aback by this whole idea, but they needed somebody to dress up as St. Nicholas. So he gets the idea, I'll ask my good buddy and my roommate, Richard Brookins, hey, would you help us out and dress up as St. Nicholas? And Richard promptly said no. He didn't want to do it because he realized that from everything Harry was doing, from everything that he'd heard, that this was going to be a huge event in town, that people are going to really like take to this. And he was afraid, Richard was, that he was somehow going to screw this up. It was going to be something that'd be mocked or laughed at. And he didn't want that kind of pressure. But Harry was very persuasive and eventually worked on Richard to the point where Richard reluctantly agreed to be St. Nicholas.
Peter Lyon, the author in Canton, who wrote the book American St. Nick. One might wonder, Peter, how did you find out about this story? Like I said at the top of the program, it's so niche. How did you learn about it?
I was living in Pittsburgh at the time, and I was working with a guy who, his name was Terry Brookins. He was one of Richard's sons, and Terry was telling me that he was going to be going on a family vacation, and he was saying I was going to take my family to Luxembourg in November. Now, this was a while ago, and at that time, I did not know very much about Luxembourg, except that in November, it was probably going to be very cold. So I just said to him, Terry, why are you taking your family to Luxembourg? I mean, why take them someplace warm, you know, go to Disneyland or something? And he said, no, we're going there for this thing that my dad did during the war. But I was just like, well, what did he do? And he said, do you really want to know? And I said, yes. So Terry gave me the 5-minute thumbnail version of the story that I wrote about. And when he was done, I was just gobsmacked. I thought, oh my God, this is a great story. I mean, how did we not know about this? Somebody should write a book about this. And then I said, well, hang on a second. Yeah. I'll write a book about this. Give
that's
me your
you.
Dad's phone number. And that's kind of, that was the genesis of this, of the whole book.
Exactly, Peter. That's you. You're going to write the book. Canton-based author Peter Lyon, American St. Nick. And I've got to know how this interview with Richard Brookins went, because let's be honest, sometimes when you go to a GI and you want to talk about the war, the good, the bad, the ugly, they're not so inclined to talk. How did you get a hold of him and convince him to do this interview?
It's funny because, like, I would speak with Richard and Harry Stutz and actually Frank McClellan as well, who was another key figure in the book. And I would always ask them to, what was happening at a certain time. Tell me their story. What was happening in Vils? Where were they at a particular time and date? And I have to say, like, their recollections of all these events were just spot on and just, I mean, remarkable. They remembered so much detail, especially Richard. He was just an absolute, fountain of information. And, when I would talk to him, he would tell me something, tell me a detail. And then that would force me to then sort of go down, a path of, okay, thanks. I hear what was going on at that particular day. Let's say December 15th, 1944. Okay. You were in Clairvaux. Okay. What was happening at that time? And then I would have to then go and research all the factors that were happening around. What was it like that day? What was the town of Clairvaux like? Who was there? Who was stationed there? Et cetera, et cetera. And the research was really, immersive, and it took quite a bit of time to sort of ferret all that out. The actual writing of the book probably took nearly 3 years, and the way I was doing it, and I don't know how other people do it, but this is how I was doing it. I would write and research at the same time. So if Richard would say, oh, I was, we got the Jeep and we went here or there, I would then research that, and then I would write a little bit, then call him back up and say, hey, could you tell me about that element again? And he would tell me certain things again, and then I would go back down and I would write. So it was really an ongoing process of the writing and researching happening in tandem. And again, I know probably a lot of people do all the research first and then, compile all their facts and interviews and then maybe write. I just couldn't do it that way with this particular story. At least I didn't feel I could do it that way with this particular story.
I don't know if they were excited or not to tell the story, were they?
I would have to say probably a blending of both, depending on who I was talking to. For instance, with Richard, just a funny side note, when I first called him up after I had spoken to Terry, his son, and Terry gave me some background information on it, I compiled my list of 20 questions to start with, and I finally called Richard up and introduced myself and said I was going to write a book on his story. To this day, I'll never forget his reaction. It was like, his exact words were, oh yeah? And that was it. And I think, for him, he had been since the war telling this story over and over again. So he was used to it. So here was just another name and another face and another voice saying, hey, I'm going to tell your story. And I think he was sort of like unimpressed until I really started to like gain, win him over and win over his trust.
Peter Lyon, the author in Canton who wrote American Saint Nick. Peter, it almost sounds to me like what you were doing was slowly but surely talking with these guys, gaining their trust, getting them to open up to tell the story.
Just by continuing talking to him and letting him know it wasn't some fly-by-night thing. It wasn't just going to be a quick interview in a newspaper article or something like that, and that I was genuine and I was serious about it. He then would open up and to be honest, Morgan, throughout this whole thing, when it was all done, the whole writing of the book was published, our relationship didn't end there. We actually maintained contact, right up until the time that he passed away. I would, speak to him at least once a month. He would call me, I would call him. And so it was the development of a relationship. But to answer the other part of your question is like, were some of them hesitant to talk? A couple of, Frank, for instance, was a bit hesitant to talk because Frank had, been a POW,
okay,
during the latter part of the war. And so getting information out of him was very difficult and time-consuming at first.
And this is 1944 we're talking about.
He was a POW in 1944, and when I spoke with him, I mean, we're talking in the early 1990s, or excuse me, the mid-1990s, basically he suffered from PTSD from his war years. So me asking him questions was certainly dredging up a lot of those memories that he had and a lot of things he was trying to overcome his phobias. And so it took a while for him to really open up to me and to realize that, I wasn't, that I was genuinely curious about his involvement with this story, and the questions that I were asking him were really backgrounder information kind of things. And so then, again, that was a winning of his trust. And once that happened, and once we established that relationship, then yes, he was a bit easier and forthcoming with the information.
Anybody who looks at the cover for American Saint Nick a true story, not based on a true story. This is a true story. What you'll see is Richard Brookins dressed up as Saint Nick, and I have to know, how was the costume made?
They did not have any costumes. What the costume was were the priest's mass robes for saying mass, and they just borrowed them to dress Richard up. You know, don't forget, he was in, you know, in army fatigues. He was in, you know, military, you know, garb. So he wore this priest's mass robes. The nuns at the convent in the Wiltz Castle, which was a girls' school at the time, made him a bishop's mitre, and that, you know, he wore on his head, and he carried around a crozier, which is basically a shepherd's staff. And the most important thing was they knitted him a beard out of rope. It was knitted from rope, and he said it was this scratchy, gnarly, just hunk of rope that he was wearing. And the hat was actually, the bishop's hat was so tight that he had a headache that during that entire ceremony, because it was too tight on his head. They didn't know. They just, you know, they just made it. And Richard, will often say that except for like the very tips of his army boots, he didn't think anybody, any of the children anyway, knew that he was a GI. He knew enough, German in a few words that he could say a few words to the children, and just ask a couple of questions. And so he thinks, like, he maintained that. Again, he doesn't think any of the children knew that he was an Army GI.
I'm Morgan Cunningham at Spotlight Connecticut on this Saturday afternoon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Talking about American Saint Nick by Canton-based author Peter Lyon, online at peterlyonauthor.com. More on the way as Ann Murray takes us into the break.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
It was 11 days after Pearl Harbor happened. Abe Lyman and his Californians, with the four Elton boys on vocals, wasted no time in cutting Let's Put the Axe to the Axis, released a week before Christmas 1941. Well, that is a song, a time capsule in itself, as we continue to talk about World War II and the most unusual story that probably came out of World War II, at least I think so, and it's the story that Peter Lyon, an author in Canton, documented in his book called American Saint Nick, which is the story, a true story, not based on a true story. This is a true story about how in December 1944, a handful of very battle-weary GIs decided that they would throw a holiday party for the children of Wiltz, Luxembourg. And so Peter's with me this hour. We're talking about exactly how his book came to be, and more importantly, how this story happened so that he could have a book, and it's been turned into a documentary. And if you want to learn more about Peter, all you've got to do is go to peterlyonauthor.com or go to americansaintnick.com. Peter, has this become a tradition? Is this something that they celebrate? And I'm not talking about St. Nicholas Day, but I'm talking about how the GIs rolled into Wiltz, Luxembourg and pretended that they were, in fact, St. Nick. Is that still known to this day? Is that a tradition?
It has become a tradition, and it's been going on. You know, as of this year, it will be 79 years that they've been doing this tradition of St. Nicholas Day, celebrating St. Nicholas Day. What happened in 1944 with the GIs was something brand new. And so when the war ended, they decided, that the people in Wiltz decided, that they would never forget the kindness and generosity of these handful of American soldiers that won St. Nicholas Day. So they incorporated a new tradition into their celebration, and that would be somebody from the town would be chosen to dress up not as just St. Nicholas, but as the American St. Nicholas. And they would recreate that Jeep procession through town. And it wasn't necessarily on a Jeep. Sometimes it was on a horse-drawn carriage or the cart of a truck or a parade float or something like that. And, you know, as the ceremonies grew, the procession grew bigger and bigger. And so what was a Jeep now became a parade float. So that's where we see it now. But that was one thing that was brand new. So their way of honoring these soldiers was to recreate what they had done. So they did a Jeep procession through town just like the GIs did. Somebody dressed up as St. Nicholas just like the GIs did. And they had a party at the Wiltz Castle for the children just like the GIs did. And they continued that tradition for 30 years. Wow. After the war, unbeknownst to the soldiers who had been there originally, they didn't know any of this was going on. They did this for 30 years just to honor those soldiers without these soldiers even knowing this was happening.
As the days go on, as the weeks go on, the months go on, the years go on, Peter, I just have this feeling that today's generation does not appreciate World War II history, certainly anything before that, and that as time goes on, people in general are forgetting more and more about what happened in World War II and how the war became what it became and why America got involved and how the fight went on. My question to you, and from what I understand, you have been overseas a number of times. Are Europeans aware of their history and stories like this?
They truly are grateful for the freedoms that they, you know, they live with now, and the cost of that freedom, the blood that was spilled for their freedom, they've never forgotten it. And to this day, they, you know, there's so many monuments that dot the countryside throughout Europe.
Yes.
I mean, throughout France and Belgium, Luxembourg, etc. And every year they will honor these soldiers and, you know, tend to their graves, those who are still buried there, and they will have commemoration memorials at these monuments. And it's all to remember those soldiers, the Allied soldiers who gave their lives for their freedom, and they've never forgotten it, and they probably never will. And I, to your point, I think it's important that, the war was not fought on our soil. Yes, you know, Hawaii was Pearl Harbor was bombed, absolutely. But for the most part, the war was, you know, did not touch, you know, I mean, the people in Europe are very appreciative of all the sacrifices that were made on their behalf, and they have not forgotten.
Peter, here you are. You're in Canton, Connecticut, a relatively tiny place in the greater scheme of things here in the United States of America. And this book not only has national intrigue here at home, but international intrigue. So this book, it's made it overseas, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's been translated into Luxembourgish, their native language. It's also been translated into Dutch. There's a Dutch version of it for the Netherlands that's out now. So yeah, it's all over the place. In fact, in 2019, I was invited by the town of Nancy, France, which has one of the largest St. Nicholas celebrations I've ever seen it anywhere.
No kidding.
Yeah, and
they brought you over?
They brought me over, and it was because that year, what the people in Nancy do is they have the St. Nicholas celebration, and they have a sister country that they invite to host with them. And that particular year, 2019, it was Luxembourg. And so in doing their research, they came across the story of the American Saint Nick and said, oh my gosh, you know, this would be perfect because the theme for this is Saint Nicholas the hero. Oh, this doesn't get any better. So they said, would you come and tell your story? And they actually had the documentary film subtitled in French so they could show it to numerous audiences throughout the week of leading up to St. Nicholas Day celebration.
For those of you who don't have the book, but you're thinking about getting it, also don't forget there is, in fact, a documentary film. Yes, indeed, with footage. Yes, actual footage of American St. Nick. That whole situation in December 1944. There is footage. We're going to talk about that on WTIC. But I do want to mention that Peter has some events coming up December 2nd at the East Hartford Library. The World War II Legacy Foundation is going to be hosting it, and they're going to show the documentary film about American St. Nick, and then they're going to take questions, and there will be answers, plus a book signing. Peter will be there. It starts at 11 in the morning. That's next Saturday in East Hartford at the East Hartford Town Library. Admission to it, totally free. And also free is on December 5th. Now, December 5th is special. If you can make this one in Granby, oh boy, this is a special one. 79 years to the date of the original event, which, this is funny, it was also on a Tuesday. Peter's going to be there. He'll be talking about the book at the Granby Library on, again, Tuesday, December 5th, to mark 79 years since the actual American St. Nick happened. How cool is that? That he's able to go do this on the anniversary. Peter will be back with us on WTIC.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, I'm Gemma from Ireland, and I'm listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Don't you love that Irish accent? I'm Morgan Cunningham back with you on WTIC. You can find me on social media, Facebook and Twitter, at MC News Talk. Like my page, follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter. I got to remember to do that. I'm still so ingrained in saying on Twitter. Anyway, I do want to point out that we do have some information online about our guest this week, PeterLyonAuthor.com and AmericanSaintNick.com, Saint simply spelled with S-T. Peter, tell me, how did this become a documentary?
A gentleman by the name of Tim Gray, who was the president and founder of the World War II Foundation, and they're based out of Rhode Island, and I immediately picked up the phone, and I said, hey, Tim, I don't know if you're interested, but Dick Brookins says he's going to go back for the upcoming St. Nicholas the 7th, and he said, give me the dates, I'll be there. And one of the things that Tim is, he's a producer of documentary films. And he returned in 2014 with me and Dick Brookins and filmed this documentary. And that's how it came about.
What should people know the very first time they go to watch this documentary about American St. Nick?
There's so many little things in it. For instance, there's a scene where you see from the original film, there's a GI playing the guitar. And he's doing it while St. Nicholas is walking around meeting the kids, he's playing guitar, and we asked Dick, well, what song? Do you remember what song he was playing? He said, sure I do. It was Jingle Bells. because it was the only song that he knew, and he kept playing it over and over again. So we knew that he was playing Jingle Bells. Unfortunately, that film, black and white film, the original film, is silent. There was no audio with it. So when they made the documentary film, they dubbed in somebody playing guitar, playing Jingle Bells, watching the film and playing along and recreating.
Okay.
So you hear in the background the tune of Jingle Bells being played. And so that it was all these things came together for the film. And the film did win a couple of Emmy Awards. One was for music, since we're talking about it, and the other one's for the scripting. The
script. People are probably curious, Peter, how did this film survive to this day? I mean, this just seems to me that it was kind of a passing event. How did this happen?
There was a combat camera crew that was out on assignment that morning, that morning being December 5th, 1944, which is when the actual party took place, the day actually before St. Nicholas Day. And the camera crew was out, and they had a couple of assignments they had to do in the morning, which they completed, and they were on their way back to headquarters, which, again, was in this town of Vilts. The cameramen were coming in on a Jeep, having completed their assignments, and they're coming down the main street in town. And if they take a left off this to the side street, they'll go right to headquarters. They dump off their film. Their job is done, and that's it. They're done for the day. But as they're about to make that left turn, they see coming out of the castle, the Vilts Castle portal, something you don't see in war-torn Europe every day, and that was a Jeep with what looked like Santa Claus hanging off the back of it. So curiosity gets the better of them, and they followed the Jeep, and the Jeep sort of was winding its way down towards this boys' school that was in the center of town, and that was going to be the first stop for St. Nick. And so the camera crew followed them, and you know, they get there, and you know, one of the soldiers elbows one of the guys and says, "What's going on?" And they say, "You know, well, this is a little party that we're going to do, and we're going to end up back at the Vilts Castle." So these cameramen said, "Well, you know, we've got some extra film on the reel. Let's go set up." And they did, and they went back to the castle, and they set up. And that is the reason that we have this film today. It wasn't something they were assigned to do. They just did it. They rolled on it. Spur of the moment. Absolutely. Just they thought, oh, okay, let's just roll on this. And hence the reason why it wasn't like really cataloged properly, because there was just something that was thrown on the end of the reels. But I want to sort of like take away from that is if you think about it and we extrapolate from this story, it's like, what if the camera crew arrived into town 30 seconds earlier or 30 seconds later? Would we have had the film? And the answer is no, because they would not have seen the Jeep.
Nope. Never would have had the film. Never would have been able to have that documentary. That's amazing, Peter. Peter, we're down to the last few minutes, and I want to know your thoughts on whether or not there's a moral to the story. What's the moral here?
The one that stands out to me is that the soldiers are basically ambassadors for our country. I mean, wherever they are, whatever they do, wherever they go, they are in some ways ambassadors for our country. And I don't think there's any greater representation of that than this story. I mean, this was a complete selfless act that these soldiers did. They didn't do it for any other reason but the fact they wanted to do something nice for the kids in Vilts that day. One of the other interesting side notes is that, again, if you look at how it came to be, there was a soldier named Harry Stutz who organized this, who put this all together, and who made this happen. Harry was Jewish. He didn't know anything about Catholicism. He didn't know anything about St. Nicholas. In fact, he had to go ask the local priest what this was all about just to get his, be able to wrap his arms around it. So, I mean, if you think about it in those terms, here's this just, you know, this Jewish guy running around Vilts, which is a predominantly Catholic, you know, town and country at that time. And he's trying to form a Christmas party, but not really a Christmas party, a St. Nicholas party for these children. And what he ended up doing is, you know, lives on to this very day. And again, it was just such an absolute, you know, just complete selfless act of kindness. I think if there's any takeaway, it's that's what this is. It's like, you know, the pure kindness and generosity that is there. And we just all need to sometimes maybe take a step back to tap into that. You know, when you see, somebody around you that maybe needs a helping hand, you know, just think about this story and it just kind of like maybe, you know, sparks you into doing something. You say that's the only thing I can.
And Peter, what did the original GIs, like Richard Brookins, what did they think about this book and the documentary, but particularly the book when it came out?
They thanked me for writing it, And, you know, Morgan, I got to be honest with you. The whole purpose for me writing this story was because when I first heard it, I was amazed that no one knew about this. You know, we talked about what are things like in Europe and how much they remember the war. These guys are genuine heroes in Luxembourg. I mean, they're celebrated heroes. And here in the U.S., nobody knew this story. There's maybe a pocket, a handful of people that knew of it, but that was it. And I just thought, oh, that, you know, that's a shame. What can I do to make this story more accessible so that more people can to learn about what these GIs did? And that's when I got the idea of putting pen to paper.
Peter, I really appreciate your coming on Spotlight Connecticut, telling this story, documenting the history in book and documentary, and now on the radio. So how can people find this book, find out more about you?
Well, American Saint Nick's available anywhere you buy your books. If it's Amazon or, you know, Kindle, you can download the electric version of it. It's everywhere. You could go to, if you want to go to the, I have a website. It's, you know, peterlyonauthor.com. You can go there and you can order it. It's everywhere. And on that website, there will be links to, the documentary film as well as, the raw 1944 video itself. So you can, again, these books are available everywhere.
Peter, thank you so much for coming on. PeterLyonAuthor.com and AmericanSaintNick.com, Canton-based author who really fell in love with the American Saint Nick story. And thank God that he did, because that story is documented for many more generations to come. Quite a World War II story. You know, when I was growing up, I remember hearing a number of stories about the war, at least a few of them, from my grandma Dolly. She grew up in the Depression. She grew up in World War II, born in 1928. And I just wanted to acknowledge, I wanted to dedicate this show in her memory, because it was this hour, the 2 o'clock hour, on November 25th, 2015, that Grandma Dolly passed away. And I think about the lessons I learned from her, unconditional love for sure. She suffered from Parkinson's and dementia in the later years of her life, but I loved her nonetheless. And she taught me that nothing lasts forever and that we ought to appreciate all the time we have together when we have that time. So rest in peace, Grandma. Our hearts still keep you in our hearts all the time. That's what I'm trying to say. So dedicating this in her memory on WTIC. I'm Morgan Cunningham. Next week, the Casey sisters from Avon are coming on the show. They're going to be talking about all of their Christmas shows coming up. They're a girl group, 5 of them. Wow. Next Saturday at 2. Bye-bye.
Feliz Navidad.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.